Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 21st chapter, the first 11 verses. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and they will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Friends, these are God's words for us, God's people, this day. Thanks be to God. How do you know that you are in the presence of God? What are the signs that tell with certainty that the sacred core of reality has visited our human lives? How do we know God's presence? Often, I think seeing God is all about knowing where to look. So it is on this Palm Sunday. The gospel writer Matthew paints a vivid picture, a picture that is frankly peculiar, of Jesus riding into the city of Jerusalem. Two of his disciples are asked to secure the mode of transportation carefully, specifically chosen. The job for the disciples may not be impressive, donkey detail. But isn't it often the little things we do to prepare the way for Jesus that make the biggest difference? And so it is with these disciples, small acts done with great love. If you read Matthew literally, Jesus is actually riding two animals as he enters the city, a donkey and a colt. Now, this would have been quite a scene. But beyond the optics, Matthew is making it as clear as he can that this unusual entrance through the city gates is a fulfillment of expectations, of prophecy. He quotes Zechariah, "Look, your king is coming to you." So with that, Jesus, whose whole ministry has taken place out in the country, the backwaters, comes into Jerusalem in the way that the prophets of old had predicted the King of the Jews would come. Humble and lowly is he, riding on a donkey. Those who saw it recognized the symbolism immediately. The moment of their redemption, the time of their salvation, their freedom and restoration had come. Their king had arrived, and so the approach becomes a kind of parade. People tear branches from the trees and the coats from their backs, and they shout their praise in ancient and familiar phrases drawn from their well-worn scriptures. First word on their lips is a Hebrew phrase, Hosanna. Though today we hear it primarily as an expression of praise, the word is best translated, save us, or rescue us. Save us from the crushing weight of oppression. Save us from religious persecution and social alienation. Save us from marginalization against the Roman Empire. The crowd that gathers around Jesus is acutely aware of the possibility of this moment. They long to be saved by the one who they pray will wrestle the throne away from Herod. So they shout, save us. There is, I think, as much desperation as expectation in their words. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, Matthew says that the whole city was in turmoil. Just as King Herod and all of Jerusalem with him were troubled when a baby was born in a stable in Bethlehem, turmoil, trouble. Literally in Greek, the whole city was shaking. And don't we know something about what it is to be shaken, you and I? Shaken to the core. I'm not sure which aspect of our current reality is shaking you most today. There are so many options from which to choose, so much turmoil, so little rest from the unrelenting onslaught of heaviness and grief. There's a meme making the social media rounds these days that puts it plainly. This is the lentiest Lent I've ever lented. No doubt about that. For this clearing season has cleared more than we expected, far more than we hoped. We have been shaken. And into that sacred city, quaking in turmoil, Jesus rides on the back of a donkey. And into this week we call holy, we walk with anxious minds and worried hearts. With more desperation than expectation, we shout, save us, and we wait, and we watch, and we hope. This holy week, the promise to which we cling is that God will indeed come close to us. That somehow, somewhere, some way, we will encounter the sacred in the days ahead. From Scripture, we learn that what we see this week depends on where we choose to look. The disciples and the crowd are shouting their desperate hope. The city and its officials are grappling with increasing unrest. The religious leaders are huddled in fear, making malicious plans. In Jerusalem, the power of God and the gods of power will meet head on, and everyone seems to know it. And so tucked into this passage like an Easter egg is one simple question that stands at the heart of the story. The crowd, the governor, peasants, the powerful, the desperate, the fearful, they all ask the same question. A city engulfed in turmoil, who is this? Who is this? Some in the crowd who line the way for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem think they have the answer to that question. It's a good answer drawn directly from Scripture, and so they proclaim that Jesus is the Son of David. It's a reference to the greatest king of Israel, victorious in battle, unrivaled in power. The crowd sees in Jesus the potential for another King David, another era of domination and success, another era of power for those under the booted heel of the Romans. They are looking for a king, a powerful king. Others have a different answer. This is the prophet from Nazareth, they shout. And in so doing, they call to mind the prophets of Israel and Judah who spoke words of judgment against tyrant kings and demanded repentance and change from God's people. They imagine that Jesus will be another prophetic voice against established rulers. And the empty religious displays of their time, one who would declare God's righteous anger, one who would pronounce judgment. They are looking for a powerful prophet. Both groups have good reasons for believing what they say. Both answers come from despair in the way things are, and a hope for redemption and renewal. Son of David, powerful king, save us. Prophet from Nazareth, revolutionary hero, save us. But on this Palm Sunday, both answers are incomplete if we are to encounter the sacred among us. After all, if Jesus were simply a new and better King David, he would have ridden that donkey all the way to the palace of King Herod himself and given him his eviction notice. After all, if Jesus were simply a prophet, his parade would have incited revolt against the leaders of the city, God's judgment against all those who threatened to do him harm. But Matthew does not record these events. They never took place. Matthew tells us that Jesus rode that donkey into the holy city and went not to the houses of power, but to the house of prayer, to the temple. There he continued the work he had begun in Galilee. He cured the ill. He welcomed the outcasts and outsiders. He taught in parables. He spoke of God's coming kingdom where love would reign. He taught the love of God in word and in action. And in this story, if we know where to look, we see the presence of the sacred. In this story, if we know where to look, we discover our call. It's all about where we choose to direct our attention. Look, your king is coming to you, humble, riding on a donkey. What does it mean for those of us who try to follow Jesus in a time of quaking turmoil? It means that we have been given an extraordinary gift, that we have been told where to look if we are seeking hope, where to turn our eyes for salvation, where to seek the presence of the divine. Look, your king is coming to you, but how humbly. Where? Not to the palace, but to the cross. Why? Because God's love is that deep. Our wife Sarah and our 6-year-old son Samuel always have their most profound theological conversations just after bedtime. Sam surely knows how best to delay sleep in our 2-pastor family. On Wednesday night, Sam and Sarah were discussing the events of Holy Week. And when Sarah asked Sam to describe what happened, Sam said, "The people tried to cross Jesus out." But Jesus loved them anyway. Then he offered this one-sentence sermon. "Mom, when we love each other, God gets bigger and bigger." And so I have a new image for the meaning of this week and for the challenge of this time. As Jesus rode into the city, as he taught and healed and preached and forgave and loved, God kept getting bigger and bigger. The tragedy was most of the people around him couldn't see it. They didn't know where to look. Their attention was focused on the powerful and the prominent. And all the while, Jesus was with his friends. He was welcoming the outcast, forgiving the sinners, preaching to the oppressed. Sam helped me to look again for God's presence. Like those who lined the streets of Jerusalem, I realized that my expectations of God were captive to the glorious displays of royal pageantry. That my expectations of God were captive to the filled sanctuary that will not be a reality this year. And yet God's presence is magnified in the love that is being shared in ways we could not have imagined. Chalk drawings on driveways, flowers left on porches, phone calls and text messages, virtual reunions among old friends, family walks and time to linger. God is with us. We just have to know where to look. And then there are the difficult, the challenging, those places where we might want to avert our attention. And yet I trust that this is where Jesus will spend his time this week, teaching us the meaning of grace when it's not easy, showing us that sacrificial love is the only thing that holds us together, reminding us of the courage that overcomes fear. This week, as I try with limited success to shield my sons from the grim news and my own persistent fear, I keep thinking about a story Fred Rogers told about his own childhood. He said that when he was a young boy and would see scary things on the news, his mother would say to him, "Fred, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." Mr. Rogers wrote, "To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words. And I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world." How do you know you are in the presence of God? Well, you have to know where to look. this time of crisis, I'm looking at medical professionals separated from those they love so they can care for strangers. I'm looking at people who choose to share what they have rather than hoard what they need. I'm looking at those who make phone calls and write notes and pray diligently and bring joy to others. I'm looking at those who stock shelves and operate registers and clean public spaces and drive trucks and deliver packages and prepare meals and pick up trash. I'm looking at those who show compassion and patience, who care for children and grandparents and one another and themselves. I'm looking at people finding ways to connect despite distance, to create beauty from afar, to shine whatever light they have, to illumine the darkness for someone else. I'm looking at children who find joy in unusual places and relish the simple sources of laughter. I'm looking at those who show me the face of God when I need that vision the most. And so Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Shaken in turmoil, the city asks, "Who is this? Who is this? This is God in flesh and blood. This is love incarnate. This is the one who will save us." So look for the helpers. Look for the ones offering what they have. Look for people of compassion, generosity, and grace. Look for the beauty of God's love in human form. Look, your king is coming. Ride on, King Jesus. Keep looking, people of faith. He comes to show us the way. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.